one of the songs that has fallen into disrepute at this time of year that we used to sing always, particularly on Memorial Day, is Onward Christian Soldiers. I'm sure all of you have sung it at some time or another, but there are others who do not listen to it as often as we do, perhaps, and many of us don't sing that much anymore, because people avoid it because it seems to shut the door to others, to Muslims, to Buddhists, to Jews, to Hindus, to people, any person of another faith. And that's not the intent of the song, but it produces that reaction in a lot of people, both in and out of the Christian church. So we don't sing that very much anymore. I'm sure that the community wouldn't appreciate it if we walked out and marched down the street singing, Onward, Christian Soldier. Now you know why I'm not in the choir too, but they wouldn't appreciate it if we did that. They don't like that song if they've heard it. Still, on Memorial Day, it is good to remember. Remember those who have fallen in service so that we might be free. Those throughout the years and those we have known. Today is a day to remember them. We remember them other times, but our nation takes a holiday this weekend to honor our soldiers, our Marines, our Navy crews, all who have served our country. We pray for their families, and we thank God for them. The characteristics of the church are, even though we don't think about it much, kind of like an army. We are an army together. So I want to talk about how the church is like an army. First of all, I think it is so because of our unity. We are united together. Jesus has prayed for us. And he says, I pray also for those who will believe me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, and I am in you. He prayed that we would be one. We would be one in the body of Christ. We all have different talents, different experiences, different points in our lives where we are, but we come together in unity because we love the Lord and because Christ has called us to serve him. Now, being one with each other does not mean that we will quit our bickering and our differences. It doesn't mean all of that's going to go away. It doesn't mean that we're going to quit passing judgment on other people or quit holding grudges. We can pray that God will release us from those tendencies of ours to do these things. That's not what he wants. So let's pray that some of them at least are gone and we're relieved of them. I want to tell you about a story Dr. Dale Galloway has told. He grew a large church from nothing up in Portland, Oregon, called the New Hope Community Church. And he tells the story of a single mother who belonged to the church along with her son. She was invited to a women's group, and someone looked at her and said, "My goodness, dearie, you look yellow. Is anything wrong?" And she said, "Well, I don't think so." And the woman asked her, "Have you been to a doctor?" And the woman said, no, I can't afford it, insurance. So the group, knowing this, took up a collection, enough money for her to go to a doctor, which she did, and she found out that she had severe damage or disease, I'm not sure which, in her liver. And the doctor told her that if she didn't have a transplant in the next 6 months, she would probably die. Well, the transplant, he told her, would cost $190,000. And this was a story that comes from 15 years ago. So I don't want to know what it costs these days. So she certainly didn't have money for something like that if she couldn't afford to go to a doctor. So the women went to the pastor to ask Pastor Galloway if the church could do anything. And he kind of scratched his head because the church was in the middle of a new building project. And they were already $400,000 in debt because of that. And he just wasn't sure how things were going to work out. But he said, well, we'll see what we can do. And he announced that coming Sunday that they were going to take up a collection for Donna, and he told the congregation why. And he specifically told them, I'm asking you to do this today because in my prayer to God, I felt very strongly that he wanted all of us to participate in this opportunity to share our love with this woman. And the pastor was amazed when they took up the collection and counted it the next day, and $60,000 had been given that one day. In the coming week, people heard about this. The pastor was invited to be with the woman, her name was Donna, to go before the Oregon legislature to talk about the problems of people who are too poor to have insurance, therefore not getting any medical attention in some cases. Well, their picture was taken. It was on the front page of many newspapers. So they became well known. The situation became well known. Therefore, they began to get jars of money from bars. All the tip money went to the church. Children took their little piggy banks and emptied them. People all over began to come to the church or mail checks or money to the church to help out in this. They called it Save My Mom. Not only did the money come in, but people volunteered to help. One woman said that she'd give up everything else but working at the church every day for 6 weeks just to keep this project going. Lots of volunteers, people wanted to help. The love of God was working through them. So it took, I think it was a week and a half, before Donna and her son got on a plane to go to Texas, where the operation was, with a check for $140,000 in her hand. They had made and surpassed their goal. They had come together as one. When one of the sheep was limping, when one little lamb was ill, everybody, all the sheep came together, and that's us. We are all one herd, if you want to continue the sheep analogy, but we're all together. That's part of the image of sheep. They eat together, they graze together, they take water together, they're together. And we are like that. We are like the sheep of the pasture. Second way that we're like an army is in our purposefulness. We have a purpose. and we know what our purpose is. I'd like to ask you right now to take your bulletin and look. You'll have to flip a couple of pages, but look at the front page, about right under midway. There's a line that says, "Know Christ, grow in Christ, go with Christ." Right below that, it says, "Our purpose." I want to ask you to read this together with me. Our purpose, evangelism, to share the love of Christ with the unchurched through word and action. To share the love of Christ with the unchurched through word and action. Folks, that's our purpose for being here. That's our purpose. I think that the church sometimes tends to think, not this congregation, but some congregations tend to think that the church is for all the keys and the gatherings that they have, it's for their benefit. It's not for our benefit. We are the church for the glory of God. And because God pulls us together, calls us together to act as one, that we then can reach out to others, knowing that even if we are alone, there are others praying for us and helping us. There are others sustaining us. We are one. What one of us does, the rest of us are a party to. So we pray for each other, knowing that we all are part of the body of Christ. I don't know what part I am. You probably don't know what part you are. But it doesn't matter, because the body can't work completely without any of its parts. We're all necessary because we are all one, as Christ is one in God and God is one in Christ. And he prays that they both may be one with us as they are with him. There is a story that I read some time back. Dr. Clarence McCartney, a famous Presbyterian pastor from Pittsburgh, often told the congregation of a dream that he had. And in that dream, he saw the Lord seated on his throne, and around his throne were the great angels: Uriel, the angel of light; Raphael, the angel of reason; Michael, the angel of the sword; and Gabriel, an angel of holy song. Before the throne stood the angel of the book, bringing with him a mere mortal. And God asked the angel of the book, "Who is this that you have brought, and what are his claims?" The angel looked at the book and said, "Oh God, this man was a great inventor and shed light on the pathway of man through the world." So God said, "Send him up and let him stand here by the side of Uriel, the angel of light." Then the angel of the book came up with another mortal, and God asked the same question: "Who is this and what are his claims?" The angel looked in the book and said, "This man was a great philosopher, a thinker who thought great thoughts about thee." "Fine, bring him up and let him stand next to Raphael, the angel of reason." And then a third time, the angel of the book comes up with a mortal, and God asks the same question, and he said, the answer is, "This was a great patriot. With his sword, he delivered his people out of the hands of despots and tyrants." The Lord said, "Send him up, and he can stand with Michael, the angel of the sword." Then the angel brought forth a fourth person, and when God asked the question that he has asked each one before, the answer by the angel of the book was, he has sung holy songs in praise of God, some which still echo through the church of the living God. The Lord said, send him up and let him stand beside Gabriel, the angel of the holy song. Then the angel brought forth a fifth person. God asked him, this is a dream Galloway is portraying to his congregation, and this fifth person, he says, I wondered who he was and why he was there. And the Lord asked the angel of the book, who is this man and what is his claim? And the angel answered, this man was a factory worker, and he brought 10 people to Christ. With that, the whole heavenly realm clapped their hands and shouted with joy and began to sing hallelujah, because he had saved 10 people who were lost. He had brought them to Christ. That moment, all heaven rang out. Now, let's be clear about our purpose here. We are to save those who are lost. Now, I'm not saying we're going to go out and accost people and say, are you saved? That is not what I'm implying that we should do. But we should talk in conversations with people that we know are unchurched. We can talk about our church family. Something that you've done with us, something that you've enjoyed. You can tell them what a wonderful preacher and great musician we have. Talk up the church. Tell them of your fellowship with each other. And if they are hurting, be with them. Hold their hand. Put an arm around them. Say a prayer for them. Let them know that you are there for them. That's what we are to do. Each one of us is to do this in our ordinary, everyday life. Our purpose is to touch the life of anyone who is hurting or feeling unloved. I want you to know, for 4 months I was in bed because of my broken ankle, and there were days that I felt totally unloved. Because Larry and, listen to me, I don't even remember my husband's name. Larry and Cole would bring me lunch and dinner and anything I wanted, but they would come and they would go, and I felt so unloved. Nobody just came and sat with me. We are to love people. We are to love those who do not know why they are taking up space in this world. And there are such people. Our purpose is to be a beacon of hope for those who have no hope, and to be joy for those who are in the muck and mire of despair. We're to be a beacon of peace to those who feel tormented, and a beacon of love for those who have been used and abused and not loved. Our purpose is to reach people who need the love of Jesus Christ. And as part of the body of Christ, we are to provide the love that is needed in this world. The third, that's the purposefulness. The third way we are like an army is in our devotion to our commander-in-chief. The army answers to the commander-in-chief, does what the commander-in-chief says. Jerry Jenkins, whom I'd never heard about until I started doing research for today's sermon, wrote a book called The World's Strongest Man, and he co-authored it with Paul Anderson. Anderson was the 1958 Olympic weightlifting gold medalist. He stood 5'9" and he weighed 375 pounds. Now, he was not a bodybuilder. He was just a large man with a large trunk. If you saw him and didn't know who he was and what he did, you would think he was just fat or even obese. He was just a big man, wasn't particularly strong like this. And he was well known, he's in the Guinness Book of Records, because with his back, he lifted 3 tons. Now, he went around and he performed some of his feats of strength and was collecting money. And some people thought this was horrible. But he gave all the money that he collected to this boy's camp that he had started in Georgia. He didn't keep it. He gave it away. Because his commander told him in his heart to give, and he did. Memorial Day is a day for remembering not only those who have fought for our life, our country, and our democracy, but to give thanks that we walk in the footsteps of people with an extraordinarily deep commitment to our Commander-in-Chief. Think of all of those in the church who have gone before us. They are part of us, we are part of them, and we are honored to walk in their footsteps. So, even if Onward Christian Soldiers is not our favorite hymn, let it remind us that in some ways, we are like an army in our unity, in our purposefulness, and in our obedience to our Commander-in-Chief. So I say to you this morning, Christian soldiers, serve in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and let us go onward. May it be so. Amen.